The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Today's episode of Dollars and Cents is a rebroadcast, the best of Dollars and Cents presented by Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant on Cross Street in Peabody. Hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. I hope you've been enjoying this great weather. So many things going on around town, around the North Shore, the Cape Ann area, the Merrimack Valley area. If you haven't been up to Rockport or to Gloucester, out to Beverly, to Salem, to Swampscott, to Marblehead, up to the mountains, up to New Hampshire, and just so many places, so many things to do in this great weather, and it's so limited. You know that. So make the most of your time. I hope you're enjoying time with yourself. I hope you're enjoying time with your family and friends and doing what you can. I was away last week. I happened to go on a cruise. Can't believe it, but it's been a long time since my wife, Laura, and I went on a vacation, just the two of us. No friends, no family, nobody that we knew. We just hopped on a plane, went on a cruise on Celebrity Cruise Lines through the Caribbean. Knew nobody, wanted to know nobody, wanted to just be away from everything, and we survived. Yeah, we even got along, which was really kind of interesting. It's one of those things, you know, it's one of the challenges that most people face as they approach retirement is they find that, you know, geez, I married this woman, man, whomever, and we had children, the kids grew up, they're now finally, hopefully, out of the house, and it's back to us again, and we realize, do we still like each other? Are we just, as they said in the movie Date Night, are we just really good roommates? What are we going to do now for the next 30 years of our life? Are we just going to sit around and wait for grandkids so that they can be a distraction from us, from each other? I mean, I think that's happened times what happens with a lot of couples. They hope that their children have children so that the grandkid can be a distraction from what they have to do together. I know that sounds horrible, but I will tell you, I see this happen a lot. So I strongly encourage you, as you're watching your children get older and you're becoming an empty nester, it's important that you both ask yourselves, if you're a couple, the question, what is it that we like to do together besides eating meals or going out for dinner or watching Netflix? There's got to be something else to it. And if you don't know what those things are, experiment, try them out, do some things, or give each other the independence to explore things that each of you like to do independently, different circle of friends, all of that. It's very, very important. So Laura and I were on this cruise, like I said, the Celebrity Cruise Line, and we were on the Equinox, was the boat, that, was the name of the boat. And we saw something on the boat that I've been talking about on the radio show for the past month or two. We saw gramping. Remember we talked about this term, gramping? It was one of the words on my newsletter a few weeks ago. Gramping is a new trend where grandparents say to their children, I want to go away with my grandchildren and give you the freedom to have some time on your own. I think what they're really saying is, I want to spend time with my grandchildren and no time with you. I don't want you setting the rules. I want to set the rules and have fun with my grandkids. So we met this really nice couple who were from South Carolina. They live in South Carolina right now. Their kids are all from Pennsylvania. Their children are from Pennsylvania. And they brought their grandchildren, who were 13 and 11, on a cruise with them. And they left the parents at home. And these grandkids had the best time with Grandma and Grandpa. And Grandma and Grandpa, I watched them as we sat in the dining room, sitting next to them on most nights, just watching Grandma and Grandpa enthralled in their stories, having such a good time, the grandkids getting along so well with one another, brother and actually two sisters. They were both getting along so well. It was a great experience. I don't know what they did during the day. We generally saw them at dinner, but it was, you could see this, the four of them were so happy just spending time together. So if you've been thinking about this idea of gramping, I'd encourage you to think a little harder about it and perhaps even pursue it. I think it's a great experience. A few other things that we did on our cruise was nothing. It was really kind of nice. Have you ever been on a cruise where you stop in four ports? We stopped in four ports along the way in Key West, in Costa Maya, Cozumel, and Grand Cayman. And just for the fun of it, we just teased ourselves, got off the boat, walked into the town or the port area for about 45 minutes, didn't even stay for a drink, didn't buy a single souvenir, turned around and went back on the boat. Because I'll tell you, the best part of a cruise ship is being on the boat when nobody's on the boat. You get the pool to yourself. You don't have anybody screaming around you. They keep a couple restaurants open. It's so relaxing. And so one of the things that I did on this cruise is something that I haven't been able to do in a very long time, was to sit back and just really enjoy a book or two or three or four. And I wasn't distracted. I didn't feel like, oh, I can read a couple pages and then I'm going to have to do something else. I could just sit and read a book. So one of the books that I read on my cruise was a book that I was told to read when I first got started in this business. In fact, my father had encouraged me to read it in high school. I didn't. Then he encouraged me to read it when I got into the business. I didn't. Then I was told about 5 years into the business, as I was just learning more about the business, to read the book, and I didn't. And then we decided to start up a scholarship at Friedman Financial. In 1995, we started up our scholarship. And I was supposed to read this book because we thought it might be a nice gift for the recipients of our scholarship. And I didn't read it then. And so finally, I decided on my Kindle I was going to download the book. And the book is so old, it's basically free. So I barely had, I think I might have paid maybe 29 cents for the book through Kindle. It was so cheap. And this is a book that was written in 1926. And I'm one that has never watched a black and white movie. So reading a book from 1926 was not something that I was excited to do, but I did. The book is called The Richest Man in Babylon. It's written by George Clason. It is considered one of the most famous books out there, especially when it comes to personal finance and really setting yourself up to truly understand how can you can be successful in the future. The book was written in 1926, but it's a parable that tells a story that goes back to biblical times, far before Christ. I mean, it was BC, biblical times, when the Tower of Babylon existed. And it tells the story about how a young student or a young shepherd learns how to become the richest man in Babylon. And through the course of today's show, I'm going to share with you some stories that came from this book that I thought were incredibly valuable. They're stories that we use today as advice for our clients. Stories that we share with people on the radio, with folks that we meet in our office, that anybody can use no matter the size of your bank account, no matter the income that you have. They are life lessons that worked back in the times of Babylonia to the times of the 1700s to the times of right now. That's what I'll share with you. And that's the stuff that we do share here on Dollars and Cents each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. Just to let you know, we do put together a free newsletter. It's been coming out since March of 2009. So more than 10 years, more than 600 issues we have put together of this newsletter. Comes out every Friday. It's free. 10:30 in the morning, it lands in your mailbox. 10:30 on Friday, lands in your inbox. If you would like to get this newsletter, go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of the page, and you will find how to sign up for the newsletter. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Today's episode of Dollars and Cents is a rebroadcast. The best of Dollars and Cents presented by Friedman Financial.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right above Alto Forno Restaurant and across the street from the North Shore Mall. We're at 41 Cross Street. We have been on the elbow of the mall, oh, for a long time. It's been probably 35 years we've been there, but we've been doing this since 1968. 51 years. We've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families on the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley, providing them both financial planning and investment management advice. You know, each and every week I meet so many clients that we've had for a long time, as well as new listeners, or new folks that listen to the show that want to come in, set up a new initial consultation. It's really remarkable, the stories that we hear. And as much as I can feel like I've seen everything when it comes to money, every person that walks in has another story that's a little bit different. Yeah, you can kind of categorize people in some groups, but everybody has a nuance. And it's one of the things that we take great pride in at Friedman Financial, is the fact that the relationships that we start with our clients and that we maintain with our clients aren't part of some cookie cutter strategy. We care about our clients, and it's not we just care about you on the first meeting because we want you to become a client, but we care about our clients from start to finish. Finish means when you die. I mean, we have clients that last long time with us. We've been doing this for 51 years, several generations of clients. So maybe you're in the period of time in your life where you're starting to save for your future. Maybe you're preparing for your retirement. Maybe you're dealing with the fact that, oh, one of your spouses has passed away and you need to deal with the questions around death. At Friedman Financial, we have the experience of all of that and the stories and the lessons to teach each one of you. And one of the great lessons that I try to share with many folks is a lesson that I was reminded of in a book that I read this past week on a cruise ship. It was called The Richest Man, I should say, in Babylon. It was written back in 1926. It's a book that I've been told to read for probably my entire life, and I kept on procrastinating and never got around to reading it. It's not that long. I think the whole book is maybe 160 pages or something. Pretty short book. It is they call it a parable. It is a story that takes place in biblical times. And it's a story about how a shepherd, a man with nothing, absolutely nothing, becomes the richest man in Babylon, and how he shares his lessons with others who can continue to share those lessons with others. And thus, it's the reason why there are folks who in retirement or all through their lives, they feel a sense of calm and comfort in the world of personal finance, while others simply struggle with it. And the first piece of advice, the most important lesson, if there's one lesson that you ever learn in the world of personal finance, it's this. You ready? spend less than you make. Now, that's not too profound now, is it? Or maybe it is for you, but it may sound very simple. Spend less than you make. It's amazing to me how many people I might ask, how much money do you make? And they'll tell me what that gross amount of money is that they make because they're very proud of the fact that they're making $55,000, $85,000, $126,000, whatever it is. And if I say, oh, you're making, it looks like you're making about $84,200. Oh, no, I make $85,000. They know exactly what they're making because that's what it said on their W-2. But when I ask you, how much do you take home every month? They're not so sure of that answer. And then when I ask them, well, how much do you save of your income every month? They're absolutely not sure of that the answer to that question. But if I ask them what their mortgage payment is, they know that. If I ask them what it costs for a gallon of gas, they know that. If I ask them what's your typical grocery bill, they know that. If I ask them what's the tuition for your kid's dance school, they know that. But how much money do you save every month? They don't know. And the reason is that most people spend every bit of what they make, and then some. Frankly, it's the real reason that we have such a credit problem here in America. Did you know that the average American has a credit card balance that they're not paying off every month, a credit card balance of $8,000? That's the average American. Now, some of you may be shaking your head going, well, how is that possible? Well, if you're one that has a zero balance, there's somebody else just like you who has a $16,000 balance because the average is eight. The average for a couple is $16,000. And there may be some others of you who are listening to this show saying, I wish my credit card balance was only $16,000. And when you think about credit card debt, think also of this. You may have more than one credit card. You might say, well, I don't have $8,000 in credit card debt. I only have $4,000 on my credit card. Oh, yeah, but I also have a Visa card that has $2,000, and I've got a Macy's card that has $3,000, and a Nordstrom card that has another $1,000. Oh, yeah, maybe I do have more than $8,000 in credit card debt. I'm not talking about one card, folks. I'm talking about them all. So one of the lessons is that the only way that you get rich is if you start paying yourself. Because what are you doing? When you pay money to somebody else, you're helping them get rich. If you don't keep any money for yourself, you're assuring yourself you'll never be rich. Think about that. Some people will say, well, I need to pay my bills. I have to pay my bills. Yes, you do have to pay your bills. But can you tell the difference between a want and a need? Now, you might say, well, Mark, I have to pay the bills in my house. Well, that is true. You have to pay the bills in your house. Do you have to go to Starbucks? Do you have to go to Dunkin' Donuts? Do you have to buy lunch every day? Do you have to drive a nicer car? Do you have to put flowers out in front of your house or pay a landscaper or have a cleaning service come to your home? Or do you have to have a wardrobe that you could wear a different shirt every day for the next 2 years and still not touch them all? No, we can do things differently. But unfortunately, we sometimes put ourselves in a situation where we feel almost required to have to spend that kind of money. There are all different ways and all different lifestyles that people lead. And I can tell you, in my office at Friedman Financial, we have 460 households, and not a single one of them spends money the same way. In fact, we have clients that are very, very, very happy spending $2,000 a month for everything that they need. Others that couldn't imagine spending less than $20,000. And what I find in many cases is that many folks think they spend, what they think they spend is far different from what they really spend. I'll ask people many times, what do you think you spend a month? And they'll say, oh, I spend $5,000 a month, $6,000 a month. And then when we do a little analysis of what they really spend, and I really don't care how many times you get your nails done or how many times you play a round of golf or what you even buy at Whole Foods or Shaw's or Market Basket. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care. All I'm trying to look at the aggregate amount of money that you're spending every month. And oftentimes I will show you that you're spending either far more than you think and sometimes far less. Oftentimes people don't think that when I ask them how much are you spending every month, that I mean that includes your mortgage or the amount of money you spend on your credit card. You're thinking, oh, well, that's we got food, we got groceries, I got the cable bill, I got my property taxes, I got a few, and you don't think about the mortgage bill. That's a big one, folks. It's a big one. Or the car payment, or the things that are stuff that you owe because ultimately you'll pay it off. You don't include that as part of your monthly expenses. Well, yeah, it's all there. But when I ask you, what are you putting aside for yourself? And when I say putting aside for yourself, not putting aside for a vacation, not putting aside so that you can, you know, buy a car in a year or two, but what are you putting aside that you will never touch? What are you putting aside so that when it's been put aside, ultimately you will either use it to invest or use it to draw income from? That's going to take a while for it to accumulate. But imagine what would happen if you put a little bit aside every single week, every single day. It's rather fascinating. And I use this expression, what you don't see is what you don't spend. I would encourage you to try to figure out a way, just as the government pulls federal tax and state tax and all different types of taxes from your paycheck, I would encourage you to take 10% of your gross pay and put it aside for you. And every time you get a raise, put 10% of that away for you. For right now, I don't care if it goes in the bank, if you're just getting started. But you have to put money aside for you that you're not planning on spending for a very, very, very long time. And if you can't do that, you have to reevaluate your lifestyle. Are you prepared to do that? If you're not, you'll never be wealthy. You'll never have the freedom to do what you want. Besides, I mean, what is wealthy anyways? What does it mean to be wealthy? A few weeks ago, we quoted a study that was out, I forget who put it out, that said, in order to feel comfortable in retirement, you need to have $1.5 million. And in order to be considered rich, you need a net worth of $2 million or $2.5 million. Now, some people would say, well, that's a pipe dream. And other people might think, that's all. It was rather interesting, I thought, when I posted this story about wealthy and comfortable on my LinkedIn page. We have Friedman Financial as a LinkedIn page. And we posted that story. And the responses that I got kind of horrified me. Most of the people, when I said to be comfortable, you need to have $1.5 million. And to be considered wealthy, you need $2.5 million. The people that responded, and I knew them personally, two people in particular said, if all I had was $1.5 million or $2.5 million, I couldn't do anything. You need somewhere between $7 and $9 million. I'm like, what? But perhaps, and then I thought to myself, wait a second. These two people who have just written to me that said they need $7 to $9 million to feel at peace or comfortable, both of these people are single. They're professionals. They have no children. One of them has a partner. They've never had the anxiety of having to pay for a child's education. They've never had the major expenses of other people. And still they think they need $7 to $9 million to retire comfortably. And my jaw dropped. And I thought to myself, well, this is rather interesting. I know these people. I went to college with these people. Never had a family, never got married. I could never live the lifestyle that I'm able to live today if I didn't have $7 to $9 million. Like, wow. I mean, I think to most families that we see, I would feel very comfortable that they say, you know what, if my net worth was $1.5 million or $2.5 million in retirement, man, I would feel very comfortable. Now, there are those that couldn't, of course, others that wouldn't. But remember, those that get there, those typical couples that get there, have had some major expenditures along the way. Perhaps they've had to send their children to college, and think about how much money that costs. The money that they spent on college, the money that they spent on dance lessons and baseball and football and hockey and tennis lessons and whatever else it might have been, private school. All of that money could have been saved towards their retirement, yet they elected to put some of it towards their children's education and their children's future. Yet these two folks that saw my story on LinkedIn said, how could anybody live on less than $7 to $9 million? And they are single and have never had a child. Like, there is all sorts of people out there, folks. So never think that you've got your situation figured out and what the way you do it is the only way. Because I looked at those two people and I thought, well, that's their way. But I see, I'm exposed to so many different things as a financial advisor. One of the best things as a certified financial planner is I'm able to pull the curtain back. I'm able to see so many different people's personal financial situation, how they approach money, how they spend money, how they save money, what's important about money to them. And I don't impose my values on you. What I do is I try to listen to what's important to you and help you understand whether it's achievable. And if it is, let's figure out the most appropriate, tax-efficient, risk-averse way to get there. That's the strategy, that's the plan, and that's what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. We do this each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. right here in the studios at North Shore 104.9. Our show is Dollars and Cents. It runs from, like I said, 8 to 9 every morning, and we will be back in just a few minutes with more financial advice in a language you can understand. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial, North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
My grandfather started with a simple philosophy: have quality product and great service. Today at Gibley's, we have brands from all over the world, from unique Red Sox and Patriots gear to the finest suits out of Italy. Taking a vacation? You'll love our Tommy Bahama shop. And we now have Canada Goose for him and her. If you are hard to fit, Mario and Maria will tailor anything you buy at no extra cost. Gibley's in Danvers. Come in once and you'll be a customer for life.
Today's episode of Dollars and Cents is a rebroadcast. The best of Dollars and Cents presented by Friedman Financial.
Oh, Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just above Alto Forno Restaurant on 41 Cross Street and just across the street from the North Shore Mall. Hope you're all doing well. My father started this firm back in 1968, how many financial planners and investment advisors were there back then in 1968? Dad was one of them, and our firm still stands now 51 years later. A lot of people that have been in and out of this business, we are still here, and we are still serving more than 450 households along the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the surrounding community. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs, we would love to talk with you. We have plenty of space available for you. We'd love for you to join our family of clients, and we would love to try to help you achieve the retirement dreams that you want. And in many cases, it's all because some of the challenges that people face, I should say, is because they simply don't know what they have and how to use it all. I can't tell you how many people walk into our office totally unaware of how the money that they have could work for them so that they could achieve the lifestyle that they've grown accustomed to. I'm not saying the lifestyle of their dreams. I'm just saying that the lifestyle to which you have grown accustomed, the lifestyle you've had in your 40s, in your 50s, in your 60s, the lifestyle you're living today, and then all of a sudden realizing, oh my goodness, my paycheck is about to stop. I may collect Social Security. I may have to draw on the money that I've accumulated. Maybe there's an inheritance coming my way. Perhaps I have other streams of income. But will I have enough to be able to live the life that I want? It is different, folks. But in most cases, those that have been diligent, those that have put money away, those that have used the lessons from the book The Richest Man in Babylon, are finding that they have more opportunities, more resources than they possibly could imagine. I mentioned The Richest Man in Babylon because it's a book that I read on a cruise recently. It's a book that I was told to read more than 40, 45 years ago, never got around to it. I was supposed to read it when I got into the business, never did. Supposed to read it 5 years later, never did. I was told to read it before we were going to award scholarships to people that apply for the scholarship at Friedman Financial each year. We were going to give it to anybody that applied. We were going to give them this book. But I had to read the book first, never did. So we ended up giving away the book called The Wealthy Barber, written by David Chilton, which is another very popular book. It, for the most part, has the same principles of The Richest Man in Babylon. But The Richest Man in Babylon was written in 1926 by George Clason. And it's a story that takes place in biblical times about how one builds wealth. And if you think about times before currency even existed, when people traded copper and silver and gold or gemstones just to try to measure their wealth, when shepherds tried to exchange livestock for a livelihood, just for a couple shekels or pieces of copper, whatever it was. It tells the story of how people became wealthy and how those same principles apply today. The first principle that they talked about and that still applies today is if you want to be successful, if you want to be wealthy, if you want to have control of your financial future, it's very simple. Spend less than you make. That's not a difficult concept. If you spend everything that you bring in, you're helping somebody else become wealthy while you assure yourself of poverty. Is that what you want? Have you put yourself in a situation where the money that comes into your house is more, the money that comes into your house goes out as quickly as it comes in? Do you not have any money in your checking account or in your bank account? Do you have money put aside in your 401k or in an investment account, or don't you even have one of those things? If you haven't been saving for yourself, you're in trouble. And the only way to get started is right this second. Not, well, I got to get through a couple more months, because those couple more months turns into a couple more years and then a couple more decades. And then you find yourself a ward of the state. It is equally as responsible for you to help your children try to gain the best education that they can as it is for you to be able to put money aside so that you take care of yourself and your family when the paycheck no longer comes in. So let's go on the assumption, because I know people that work with someone like us at Friedman Financial, we're not about getting you out of debt. We're not about talking with people that don't have any money. We're talking about people that have been responsible, that have tried to put money aside for their future. They just don't sometimes know how to work it all together so that it can provide and deliver the best results that you can get. And that doesn't mean picking a specific stock or taking some risk or in some high flyer. It means having a strategy. Well, let's assume that you've been putting aside money every month, every week, every year. I recommend at least 10% of your gross pay, not net pay, gross pay. 10% of it you should be putting aside for yourself. The only way to make money, though, is when you have it, you have to make that money multiply. And how do you make that money multiply? Well, you don't make it multiply by sticking in a safe deposit box or sticking it in the bank when the interest rate is less than 1%. You have to have a strategy. Oftentimes, people refer to the strategy as dollar cost averaging, buying into an investment strategy every month, having it automatically pulled from your investment account, from your bank account, and going into a particular type of investment. And I'm not suggesting that you buy an individual stock. I'm suggesting that you buy what's called a packaged product, a mutual fund, or an exchange-traded fund, or an index fund, something that gives you diversification, something that has professional money management. And how do you pick? That's lesson number three, is how do you pick how to make your money multiply? How do you pick the investments to help your money multiply? Well, lesson number three is to take advice from people skilled in that field. You see, most people use money on things that rust, rot, or deteriorate to a net worth of zero. These include houses, cars, boats, clothing, watches, jewelry, or any type of merchandise. Remember, you're making someone else rich by doing that. But what are smart people doing? They're taking every dollar they save and spending that on something that will make them more money. Usually it's on something that they're skilled at or can understand. A basketball player, for instance, might spend money on basketball lessons. A programmer might spend it on an exclusive programming or in-person training. A businessman might spend it on a small business that will make him more money. You know, Warren Buffett's been doing this since he was a baby. He bought soda in a store and sold it to people in the summer for multiple times the price. Think about this. Even the entrepreneurs that you see on the side of the road before you get into Fenway Park, they've got a big cooler and they're selling water for a dollar or water for $2. They paid 13 cents a bottle for those waters. They're making multiples on what they paid for it. And as it gets hotter, the price goes up and you're willing to pay for it. But remember, every time you're laying out money, you're making them rich and you're taking more money out of your pocket. Now, it's not such a big deal if you have the excess cash flow to help them along. But if you're spending $3 or $4 at Fenway Park for a water, because after you spent $300 or $400 on tickets on a credit card that you're not going to pay off, you are a fool. You could have done all of that from the comfort of your home, watching the game on TV and buying a case of water. You see, taking advice from people who are skilled in the field is the way for you to pick proper investments. When you're going to pick, how am I going to put away money every month, Mark? How am I going to put stuff away? Where am I going to go? Is the best person to ask your coworker? Is the best person to ask, you know, Uncle Joey? Is the best person to ask your friends who you sit around the table with at Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks? What do they know about your situation? They may have a gut feel. They're going to want to tell you about their son who's working for this great startup company or this product that they've heard about that is really going to change the world or anything, whether it's gold, whether it's silver, whether it's reverse mortgages. I don't care. Whatever they talk about, it's all nuts. It's all nuts. Talk to a person who is skilled in the field of long-term investing, not speculation. The solution to that is finding somebody who has a certified financial planner designation. That's called a CFP. At Friedman Financial, the only people you'll talk with when it comes to advice around your money are CFP professionals, certified financial planner professionals. How do you find one? You don't have to necessarily call my office, though you can if you'd like. But if you want to just search who are some CFPs in the community, you go to cfp.net on the web. It's that simple. It'll say, I'm looking for, after you go there, it'll say, find a financial planner in my area. You'll put in your area code, and you'll get a list of a ton of CFPs. And you'll see what the CFP board has to say about each of these folks. You'll learn a little bit about their business. If you want a little bit, learn a little bit more about them, go to a website that's called BrokerCheck. BrokerCheck. I don't know if it's com or org. Doesn't really matter. Type in their name there, and you'll see if there have been any complaints issued against that broker or that financial advisor. You got a financial advisor right now? Go type in their name. See what pops up. You may be absolutely delighted. You may be surprised. I will tell you this. If you type in Mark Friedman, M-A-R-C, space Friedman, F-R-E-E-D-M-A-N, the first name that pops up, you'll find that there are several Mark Friedmans. I'm not the one that was barred from the industry and was thrown in jail. That's not me. He lives somewhere else in this country. So be sure you're looking at the right person. Just because you type in someone's name in BrokerCheck, just make sure the address, the location matches. I'm not the guy that was barred from the industry. I actually have a clean 27-year record. You can look up my business partner, Marion Gilman. You can do the same, and you'll see that she, too, has a very clean record. I think having a CFP and having a clean record through all of the licensing and regulatory boards is very, very important as you search for somebody who has the first layer of experience in helping you get along on your way. Then you have to find a CFP professional who focuses on your situation. You know, Barron's comes out with a list every year. In fact, I was just told that I made the, I think it's the Forbes list again. Yeah, the Forbes list of best advisors in Massachusetts. You know, I like the list. It's nice. It's because I don't have to, I don't pay to be on this list. People select us to be on the list. But the rankings are generally listed by who has the most money under management. That's not the way you should be choosing your financial advisor. Choose your financial advisor by reading about the typical client that they serve. That is finding people that are skilled in the field in which you're trying to focus on. If you go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com, that's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com, you can see the different types of clients that we serve. One of those groups is what we call the retiree, someone who's approaching retirement or in the first early stages of retirement. They're generally over the age of 55, 60. Sometimes they're 65 or even closer to 70. They want to spend somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 a month, they think, but oftentimes they don't know because they've got stuff scattered all over the place. And they want somebody to help them organize it, help someone try to figure out all of the stuff that they have so that they can figure out how much money they need to spend in retirement, where it's all going to go, what's the smartest way to use that money, when should I take Social Security, which option should I take from my pension, when it comes close to age 70 and a half and I need to take money from my retirement plan, how do I go about taking it, who will withhold the taxes, what's the right amount to take? Can I gift money to my kids? These are all questions that the retiree is asking. Notice I haven't talked about which fund is better than the next fund. Frankly, folks, it doesn't matter. Stock selection and security selection should be the last of the criteria that you're looking at when trying to build a financial plan. It should start with knowing where everything is and what everything is worth. Then trying to figure out how much you need to spend to support your life in retirement. Next, it comes down to determining where will be the best places to draw it from. And fourth will be what should be the appropriate asset allocation, stocks, bonds, cash for the money. And then fifth, and probably even further down that list, is, all right, well, what investments should we be buying? Oftentimes people start it from the total other side. they say, well, I need to buy this stock or this fund, or I've heard this investment might be good, or maybe I should buy this piece of jewelry or this precious metal, whatever it could be. No, that's the wrong way to do it. That is the absolute most backwards way to do it, and almost a certain path towards disaster. I don't want to see that happen for you. I want to continue to give you financial advice in a language you can understand. We've got to take a quick break. When we get back, I've got more lessons from the richest man in Babylon. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater is turning 65 and celebrating with another extraordinary season of musicals. The 2020 subscription series kicks off in June with Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Here comes Thoroughly Modern Millie.
The high-octane Tony-winning musical filled with flappers, tappers, and a roaring good time. The summer family show is the North American premiere of The Wind in the Willows, a spectacular musical by Oscar-winning screenwriter and Downton Abbey creator Julian Fellowes. This will be followed by Buddy, the Buddy Holly story. And the hysterical sci-fi camp classic Little Shop of Horrors. The musical season will end with the Tony Award-winning feel-good musical Kinky Boots. Become a five-show subscriber today and save up to 45%. The 2020 season will also feature the special springtime return of Mamma Mia. For discount subscription packages and ticket information, visit us online at nsmt.org.
Today's episode of Dollars and Cents is a rebroadcast. The best of Dollars and Cents presented by Friedman Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. How are you doing this wonderful Sunday? Patriots are back on the ground, so that's exciting to see that that's all happening. How will they perform this year? I don't know, but you want to know how you'll know how they'll perform? Right here, North Shore 104.9 will be carrying each and every New England Patriots game. Like I said, my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO, and if you hear this rumbling in the background, it's this helicopter that is supposed to be coming to pick me up later in the day to take me some... No, I'm kidding. There's not a helicopter. There's just some paving and construction going on outside of the studio. I thought we were in a soundproof studio, but apparently it's not as soundproof as we think. So if there's that little rumbling, you'll know it is just some stuff that's going on outside. I was talking about this book that I read while I was on my cruise. Last week, I did a celebrity cruise, the Equinox. Had a wonderful time. By the way, best secret of taking a cruise, don't get off the ship when the boat gets into port. I've been doing this for a long time. You want to have peace and quiet? Let everybody get off the boat, pull up a seat by the pool, enjoy the music, enjoy the peace and quiet, enjoy no lines at the buffet, no lines at the bar, no lines anywhere, and the boat is all yours. But on the other extreme, you want to have another experience. And I'll tell you, this was a great experience that I had on the Celebrity Equinox. They had this chef's table dinner where 10 couples were invited, you had to pay to go, to do a tour of the galleys, which is where all the kitchens are, and then sit in a private wine cellar. Actually, it's not a cellar, it's a room, because I guess it was a cellar, it would be underground, and you're on a boat. So is it the wine room, let's call it that, for a chef's table meal. So it was six courses. Each course has its own matched up or paired beverage to go along with it. And you have five waiters for 10 people in the room. Each one brings out the plate. They drop the hats on, you know, the hats are on the top of the plates. They lift them up all at the same time. And then the chef appears to tell you what it is that you'll be eating today. And we had a wonderful time. It was a great experience. We were there almost 4 hours doing this dinner, and it was not, it was because the company that we had, five random couples, we all seemed to get along great. We were just taking our time, enjoying it. They weren't pushing us along at all. We just had a great time. If you ever have the opportunity to do what's called the chef's table on a celebrity cruise or perhaps other cruises as well, strongly encourage you to do that. You know, earlier in this show and throughout the show, we've been talking about The Richest Man in Babylon, a book written by George Clason back in 1926. It's a book that is a parable written back in biblical times, and it's lessons on how you can become wealthy. And It is amazing to me that this book, written in 1926, this is before World War II, even World War I. I'm not sure when World War I started, but several world wars, several, countries have split. Just so many things that have gone on in the world. This advice was written in 1926 based upon thoughts about how wealth was accumulated in biblical times, and every single one of these principles today still applies in 2019. Yes, a little bit different, but you can see the nuance of it. So the first lesson to become wealthy, the only way to become wealthy is to spend less than you make. How hard is that? And if you think that's hard, well, then forget about trying to buy scratch tickets. Forget about trying to pick the next Amazon, Apple, or Netflix. You got to start figuring out how to save your cash flow. You got to slow down, spend less, save something. I don't care what it is, save something and not touch it, not dip into it. But when you've accumulated some money, now you have to put that money to work. Now you have to put that money and try to make it multiply. You do that by adding to a long-term investment strategy. I'm not talking about buying a stock. I'm not talking about dropping your money on black at the casino. I'm not talking about buying a scratch ticket. No, I'm not talking about buying CBD oil or some of these crazy cryptocurrencies. I'm talking about buying in a strategy that you are not going to touch for a long time and buying it every single week, every single month, no matter the direction of the investment. This is money that is going to be there 30, 40, 50, 70 years from now. How do you find the right investment? Well, tip number three is to take advice from people who are skilled in the field, not the guys that you have coffee with at Dunkin' Donuts, not your neighbor, not your cubicle mate, and not your boss. Because you know what? Your boss's income and spending habits are different from yours. You have to understand your habits, your needs, what your lifestyle is. What you do for fun and what your boss does for fun, or what the guy in the cubby next to you, or what Susie Orman does, are totally different. Totally different. You got to figure out what is your lifestyle and what does it all look like. Next thing, only invest your money in industries and skills you are familiar with, or you will lose your money. There's always going to be folks that are going to say, well, I heard about this new pipeline that's going in, it's in Boston, and it's going all the way down to South America, and it is going to travel with oil, or what. I'm just making stuff up here, folks. But I've heard it's a great investment. If I invest now, there's the potential for 20, 30, 40, 90% rates of return. And someone sells you on the idea and you go, I got to get a piece. Or I can't tell you how many people come to me saying that they've been approached by people who are trying to do another Adam Sandler movie or some kind of animated film that's going to be done. And here's the plans, here's the layouts, here's what the numbers all look like. I got to get in at the ground floor. The opportunities are tremendous. And you know nothing about the industry except what this sales guy is telling you. Stay away. Stay away. Work with people who understand what you need, what your interests have to be, and stay diversified. Use professional investors to manage your money for your benefit, not for theirs. Lesson number five that comes out of The Richest Man in Babylon is, don't wish for a lump sum of cash. Work to achieve a consistent cash flow instead. Now, that might be an interesting one for you to ponder. If someone said to you, I'll give you $1 million or $44,000 a year for the rest of your life, which would you take? Which would you take? I'll give you $1 million. It's going to be fully taxable if I give you the $1 million. Or you can let it grow if you want, but when the minute you start taking money out, you're going to pay tax on it. Or $44,000 taxable for the rest of your life. Which would you take? Now, some might figure, I'll take the $1 million. It's a huge amount of money because I know that I can invest better than $44,000 a year. Well, this is the dilemma that teachers and other municipal workers face when they retire. Many municipal workers walk out of their place of employment with a pension of around $44,000. If you've been there 25, 30 years or whatever at your place of employment, that it can be much greater than that too, but let's just use that number of 44. $44,000 is the equivalent of having a $1 million IRA account. But which is safer, $44,000, which has the potential for growth, the $1 million, which is inflation protected, the $1 million, but which has the greatest risk of losing and not being able to produce $44,000 for the rest of your life, the $1 million? Which do you choose? And one of the things that, remember, this came from biblical times. What kind of regulations were in place in biblical times where you could have the assurance, where you could have the assurance that cash flow would keep coming to you, that money would keep coming to you? Well, you might think, well, the lump sum might be better now. But what if that cash flow came from rental income that you had from different pieces of property and you were the landlord on this property? All sorts of decisions to make. That's one that is always up for discussion. Should I take the lump sum or the distribution? There is no right answer to that except when we look, until we look at your situation. Everybody's got a different solution for that one. Number six, you will lose money if you put it to foolish use. I don't think I need to explain that one. Now, you get that one, right? I said, put away 10% of your earnings and you won't even notice a difference in the quality of your life. That is something that many people do not believe. But if you do it, try it for 6 months, try it for a year. And I think you will be absolutely amazed at how you can live on 10% less while building up a purse of money for yourselves. If you're going to invest money, invest in your ability to earn more. It means you should take some time and money to improve your skills, knowledge, and ability to earn more money. It's the golden truth to wealth, yet often overlooked, so pay attention to this one. Another one, you will lose money if you let greed cloud your judgment. How often do you see that? Think about all of the professional athletes who make all of this money, and then 3 or 4 years outside of being an athlete, they're bankrupt. Are you kidding me? Signing an $80 million contract, a $120 million contract, a $15 million contract, and they don't have any money to spend, that is dangerous. Number 10, what you earn is not yours to keep until you invest it properly. Remember that. What you earn is not yours to keep until you invest it properly, because what you earn, you have to use appropriately to spend, but you have to keep some of that money for your future. And if you don't invest it properly, it's not yours because you'll be spending it. These are great lessons. These are lessons from The Richest Man in Babylon, a book written by George Clason in 1926. Each one of those lessons apply today, and I hope you will use them, because that truly is, folks, financial advice in a language you can understand. We've got to get out of here. I hope you have a great day. I'll be back next Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. with more Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
Prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.